The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Greetings and happy Wednesday to you. This is Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're in a series where we're discussing and exploring the different meanings of the words saved and salvation in the New Testament. Now, for the last few episodes, we've been looking at the biblical book of James, and we're going to continue that one more day. We're going to look at James once more today. So let's jump right to our discussion for the day with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, thanks for listening to Grace in Focus, especially I want to welcome people listening for the first time. Someone wrote to us and said, hey, you keep mentioning that your show is on iTunes and your show is on Stitcher, but it's also on Spotify and it's also on Audible. And so you can listen to us there. And of course, you can listen to us at our website, faithalone.org, and certainly keep listening to it on this station. We were in a series on salvation in five different New Testament books. Is that right, Bob?
That's right.
In the last show, we discussed the last use of save in James, which is James 5, verse 20. And we started discussing that, and we're going to continue that discussion now.
Right. Very good. Yeah, in verses 19 and 20, these are the very last two verses in the book, and he ends starting with the reference to them as brethren. These are believers in Christ. And he says, if anyone among you, which is an expression he's used before in the book, meaning any believers in your assembly, in your church, wanders from the truth. And this word wanders is, we get the idea of planets, because planets are wandering in the sky.
Okay.
So if anyone wanders from the truth, so this is a believer who is wandering from the faith, from the truth of the faith, and someone brings him back, that is, restores him to fellowship with God and to the truth, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save, there's the word save, a soul, or I would translate that life, from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, this is linked, obviously, with 121,
right,
which spoke of the saving of the soul, and that whole theme is found in the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, and the whole New Testament, and we've talked before about saving souls in nautical terms is always saving a life, and it's
right
that way in the New Testament.
Right.
It's also this way in terms of Jesus laid down his life for us,
that's
and that
right
was the same Greek word, soul.
Just to recap, James is concerned about the death dealing consequences of sin, and he's giving wisdom that if you not only hear, but you actually do this wisdom, you're going to avoid the deadly consequences of sin.
Exactly.
Right.
But now here, avoiding the deadly consequences of sin is community related.
Well, so here's a guy who is, maybe he's not even hearing the word, not even hearing the wisdom anymore. He's wandered from it.
Right.
And so if he's not even hearing it, he's definitely not applying it. And so what's he going to be reaping in his life? He's going to be reaping the deadly consequences of sin, right?
Right. And what James is saying here is the others of you in your local church need to rescue that person.
Yeah.
So that we are part of a group that are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And if someone wanders away, like Jesus is the good shepherd, in a sense, we're all under shepherds. Now, it's true the elders in the local church are technically what Peter would call 1 Peter 5, the under shepherds. And Paul also, you know, has the idea that elders are those who are pastoring under the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. But still, in a sense, every believer is to be there for the other believers.
Right. We're supposed to watch over one another in love. How do people normally take this verse?
Well, there's the Protestants normally take this to mean that if a believer rescues someone who's strayed from the truth, then he's saving that person who has strayed from eternal condemnation. They don't see the person who's strayed as a believer. Now, with Roman Catholics, they typically understand this, that the one doing the rescuing is saving his own life, and he's covering his own sins.
Oh, okay.
Protestants typically take this to refer to saving the life, eternal life, according to many Protestants, of the one who has strayed and covering the sins of the one who strayed. However, at least one commentator, Adamson, suggests that this is covering the sins of the one who's doing the rescuing, even though the salvation is of the one who is straying.
I guess there's a textual issue here, too. Some would say this is his soul, will save his soul from death instead of a soul.
Right.
But then it's still a question of who is his. What does his mean?
Well, the word his is put there in a few of the earlier manuscripts of what's called the critical text, but the majority of manuscripts, majority text omits. So it should just be, will save the soul, although it's typically translated something like, I mean, it's often translated his soul, even if you don't see it there.
Right.
But
right.
Like the New King James translated, will save a soul from death.
Save a soul, yeah.
A number of commentators think that both physical and eternal death are in view. For example, Peter Davids in his commentary on James says, the concept of saving a soul from death is clear enough, for death is plainly the final result of sin, usually thought of as eternal death or the last judgment. That sin can result in physical death. That sin can also result in physical death is also clear. And this may be part of James's meaning, as in 5:14 through 16. But the tone appears to go beyond physical death and recognize death as an eschatological entity, that means last days reality, at least where one dies in sin, and they want to compare 1:15. Now, I applaud Davids for pointing out that this often refers to physical death. But the problem he's coming up with here is ultimately then people are not eternally saved from eternal condemnation by faith in Christ.
Yeah.
But it involves a life of faithfulness. Because if you stray from the truth,
right.
Now you've either lost everlasting life or
right.
Maybe what they would say is, well, you never had it in the first place. Well, then how do you get it?
I guess a Calvinist would say you never had it to begin with, and an Arminian or a Catholic would say, no, you lose it. You lose it if you stray.
Right. But there are other Protestant commentators who suggest that this refers only to physical death.
Okay.
For example, Luke Timothy Johnson in his commentary on James says this, the connection of sin and death is widespread, and he gives a lot of verses. The rescue operation by moral correction vividly recalls the imagery of 1:15. Of course, we talked about that, the death, the only consequence of sin, which describes the inexorable progress from desire to sin and from sin to death, thanatos. In Matthew 18:15, the result of such connection is gaining your brother. Ezekiel also spoke of the prophetic rebuke in terms of life and death. If you warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved your life. And that's Ezekiel 3:21, unquote. And Richardson also says that this is talking about physical death. He says James's focus is on the death of the body. And Hodges also said the same thing if you read his commentary on James. So what we would suggest is this is pretty straightforward. If a believer strays, bring him back. Because if you don't bring him back, he's on a path that leads to premature death.
Right. And what is this covering a multitude of sin? What's that about?
Well, it seems that the point here is sin has obviously consequences, and those consequences can result in premature death. So when sins are covered, so are the consequences lessened or removed. For example, in the case of David, when he committed adultery and murder, Nathan the prophet confronts him and says, you're the man.
Yeah.
And David confesses and admits his sin. And then he lets him know, well, you're not going to die. God is going to judge you, however.
Right.
His son died, and there were lots of consequences in his life over the second half of 2 Samuel. You can read about that. The same would be true here. The covering would lessen the consequences, but doesn't necessarily eliminate the consequences. And so there's some ambiguity here.
So it's like if you help someone come back to the truth, help them save their life from sin, that somehow covers the consequences for your own sins in your life?
Well, some people take it that way. I don't. I think it's covering the sins of the other person.
Okay.
And now whether that means they're completely covered in the sense that there are going to be no consequences, or whether this is simply talking about fellowship, that's another option, right? That it could be like a covering in the sense of the person has been restored to fellowship, but we're not dealing with the fact that the person has sown some evil and he's going to reap some consequences of that.
Right. Tell me if this is an example of that. I was in a church once where they brought a man in the church before the congregation for discipline, and the man had basically he had been stealing money from the company that he was working for. And he admitted that it was wrong, and he was repentant, and he came under the discipline of the church. They sought to restore him, and he went through a process of restoration. Now, do you think that by now this man didn't get his job back, you know, and he got this black mark on his record, and he had to, I think he even went to prison for a short while.
Right.
So are you saying that in restoring that man, somehow the consequences of that sin he committed might have been lessened?
I think there's that.
They're still there.
Right.
Would he ever get that executive level job again? Probably not.
Right.
But his family remained intact. You know, he eventually was in fellowship with the church again. I mean, is that
right.
The type of scenario you're thinking
right.
of?
Like one of the consequences temporarily was he wasn't even permitted to come to the church.
Right.
And so he's restored to that, and his ministry in the church obviously stopped during that time, but I assume he could have some ministry after that point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, also there's the issue of fellowship with God. If that's what's spoken of here, well, then he was restored to fellowship once he repented,
mm-hmm.
once they brought him back.
Right.
But there is a little bit of ambiguity of what this means as covering the sins.
Okay.
It could simply refer to the fact that his life has been saved, and so this would be synonymously saying, okay, he's not going to die prematurely.
All right.
And I do think the consequences are a lesson.
Well, thank you for those thoughts, Bob. And I think in the next show, we're going to start discussing the use of salvation now in Romans, in the book of Romans.
That's a big one.
Which it's a huge one, and you're going to want to listen in. So we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to begin looking at the biblical book of Romans, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.